Dear beloved Babaji, so much has happened since the retreat in Brazil last November. I returned to England to a lovely barn full of boxes from a move out of a home that I've been living in for 17 years. This barn was lovely, but not home. I stuck pictures of you everywhere to remind me where I had been and to stay connected as much as I could in my heart. Sundays became satsang Sundays, sitting, watching video satsang or audios, wearing white, connecting to my heart. My longing to be closer grew through the winter and the silence of the winter. And in the winter retreat, I had a profound effect on my heart. It was becoming clearer and clearer that my heart longed to be close to you more than anything. Then I missed the last retreat in Brazil due to work, but the feeling I had of being in the wrong place was so strong. It was then that my decision to break free of the life I had in order to begin a new life came. I knew that the releasing myself from my life wasn't going to be easy. That's why so few people are doing it. And you have to have your own experience to understand how stuck we are in the past. So, if this hadn't happened in your life, nothing would change. There was so much I loved, and the last week I spent with the dogs I looked after, and that was especially emotional. But sometimes you just know that something has to happen or something has to change. There was so much for me to learn through this time. Standing up for myself, having courage, and telling my parents. China's letter in satsang and your reply was such a gift for me. Thank you. After telling my parents what I was doing, I thought all was okay. Good luck. We talked, they asked questions, and I answered them. Then, 4 days before I left, I called to see Mom and Dad. We chatted smallish talk, then I went to the car. It was late, 11 o'clock in the evening, and I was tired. Then, boom, it came. Their fears, worries, sadness, frustrations, hurt, with all the questionings again. I realized that they hadn't really believed what I had said the first time, especially when my mom said we had been looking online and spoken to a few people, and it looks like you are joining a cult. Poor parents. I feel for them. I wanted to laugh and cry. I felt so heavy. It felt so heavy, so charged. I asked if they had spoken to anyone who had been to a retreat. No, no, they replied. I just thought, what can I say? There is nothing I can say to make your sadness and pain easier. I tried to reassure them that I'm going to really find out who I am, my truth. in such a beautiful, loving space. It's impossible to understand because it has never happened for them. So how can they understand? Because it's an inner thing, no? Even just in the normal world, when people fall in love, they don't understand. How could you fall in love with that guy? How can you fall in love with that woman? Just that. And this is much deeper. So it's way beyond the capacity, no? It's only when you are touched, you can understand. Otherwise, it's impossible. That's why it's best to just be quiet. Don't try to explain if they don't really want to know. And just then you tell them, just look at me. I'm more happy. Isn't that every parent want the children to be happy, no? So you have to be the proof. Then suddenly your mama and your papa will be here also. You can transform them. I'm so thankful we have 21 days of dynamic. After hearing your reply to China's letter, I had some compassion for my parents, but can also feel my own frustration and anger in the way to let it be true and healing. It also showed me how much I have to be thankful for being who they are. Without this discord in me, I may not have been searching for answers and found you. Yes. The more you understand, and the more you understand, see, and the more you come back to your own heart, the more you realize everything is perfect. Everything is just perfect. And that doesn't mean that people will understand, but what to do now? Because only a heart can understand the heart. So when they come from opinions and fears, which is the mind, which is the ego, which is the separation, then there is no understanding, no? Because people live in their own little bubble. Anything outside that bubble is scary, because they haven't gone there. So the only way is to expand, and that is scary. So then it's much easier to judge. And what is, most probably, they are in England, they must have followed the Christian tradition. Jesus, he said, judge ye not. Don't judge, otherwise you will be judged. It's one of the famous things, no? But how easy it is to judge, to have fear, to look at the other. Even if they see you are happy and doing what you want. I have been very much supported by my daughters and friends, and the process of releasing myself from all the different areas of work. It really felt like the universe was also helping and supporting me too. I feel so grateful and blessed for the ease and how it all came together. And that is always a sign, you know. It shouldn't be, when you do the right thing, it will be supported. Of course, you will have maybe your challenges on the outside, but in the inner, you will just get stronger when you do the right thing. I kept hearing you say Be courageous, be strong in spirit. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for your truth. I don't feel courageous, but there was a strength from my spirit and heart. But that's what I mean. The heart itself, if you listen to your heart, it will make you courageous. But you don't feel that, because you're following your truth. I have never felt this before, and I knew it was time for me to jump, totally trusting that all would be well. Before the retreat last year, I had so many fears about my future. No, I still have no ideas, but the fears are gone. Just in 1 year, that's a miracle. Because this is what people, they're keeping them close the whole life. I feel so at home and so much more relaxed. This line from Brahmananda's words, "My heart has found itself in the company of my master," touched me so deeply. Here I'm able to rest, to be free, to feel love, to breathe, to relax, just be. And to help a couple of days during the Dugnad was such a blessing. But then to be blessed with your presence and a hug too, totally blew me away. That is just a sign that you are doing the right thing. Then existence will shower you. So you get more trust. I can find no words to express how I felt. Just a deep heart, thank you. Now I have also been blessed with some work on the retreat, and I feel such a gratitude for the space arising and being able to be of service. Thank you, beloved Master, for your shower of love every day, and especially in satsang. My heart is home. With all my love, Nandan. This is the thing, as long as we have anger and frustration, like came up with your parents, then there will always be a conflict. So when you have no frustration and no anger, then you just understand, or you accept people, because you have accepted yourself. There's nothing you can do. The only thing is if they are open. Otherwise, it's no point. People have these ideas and fears about everything. There's many children here that has brought their parents, and many parents who have brought the children. So anything can happen. Just be ready for a miracle. This was something Osho said to one of his sannyas very, very early. Sannyas is a pilgrimage to Mount Everest. Naturally, there are difficulties on the way. But the fruits of this effort are sweet too. So bear everything calmly and joyously, but don't give up your commitment. Serve your mother even more than before. Serve your mother even more than before. Sannyas is not running away from responsibility. Your family is not to be given up. Rather, you have to make the whole world your family. That was what he was hoping. That's why he called all women Ma. Ma Nandana. And you are my mother also. So that is the small family. But he wants, like any enlightened master wants you to go beyond the small family to the human family. It's more than mother instinct in you, and that is love. Love for all. Encourage your mother to take sannyas too. That's what I say also, but it's easier said than done. Tell her, you have seen enough of the world. Now raise your eyes towards God. And everybody has this longing. They've been looking at everything and they just are confused. Because everybody is looking at the wrong thing. So you have to refocus your eyes on God, on love, on truth. That's what people are missing. So if that gets touched, then she will be ignited. You have seen, tell her, you have seen enough of the world. Now raise your eyes towards God. But make sure she is caused no trouble on your account. This doesn't mean giving in or compromising. Sannyas knows no compromise. Strong, bold, and resolute is the soul of the sannyas. That's what I mean when I say you have to be steady. You have to be devoted. You have to be committed. Then out of that, when you are committed to the real, then of course you will be more and more real. When you are committed to love, you will be more and more loving. But if you're all, your whole life just being committed to lies, to dream, to ego, then how can anything be good come out of it? It has to collapse. And that collapsing is very painful. For anybody, and especially if you don't have help. Who are people going to talk to? The priests? Then I will read you something also that Osho said about cults, because the poor guy, he had to talk about everything. And he could talk much better than I can. I never cared about these things, but he was explaining to the whole world so they could understand mentally. I just don't give a damn. When you are lost in love, you are protected. Who cares? Who cares? But Osho said, the old way is always a cult. Christianity is a cult. But it's a very strange thing. Christians call the new religious movements cults, sects, and themselves are the religion. Just the opposite is the truth. Anything which is very old is only a cult, a sect. When Jesus is alive, there is religion. When Buddha is alive, there is religion. When Buddha is gone, there is only a cult left. You see, everything is upside down. But that upside down, that falseness, has become real. And everybody believes in it because they don't think, and definitely they don't feel or inquire. A cult is the corpse of religion. A cult is only the footprints of the Buddha on the sands of time. Buddhas disappear into timelessness, and on the sands of time the footprints are worshipped, as if those footprints are Buddhas. They are not. I say to you that religion only exists in the presence of an alive master. The moment the master leaves, the true religion disappears. It is just like the fragrance of a rose flower. The moment the rose flower disappears, the petals start falling back to the soil. The fragrance also disappears. Religion is the fragrance of the person who has become awakened. It cannot be caught in the churches. You cannot catch hold of a fragrance. Does it make sense? But that is scary. And remember, when Buddha was there, he stirred up India because he was a threat to the Hindu religion. He came with something new. It's like that with every master, with Guru Nanak, with Kabir. Then the organized religions said they were a sect, of course, because it was just starting. It was a threat, because it was alive. What to say about Jesus was the same thing. That's why they killed him. He was a threat to the organized religion. He was a cult, a sect. But that, in reality, that was the true religion. And now, 2,000 years later, they are following him. When he is alive, then they crucify him. Because it is challenging. And an awakened man will challenge you to wake up. But if you hold on to the past, you have to shut him up, or judge him, or condemn him. It's the only way. Or you have to transform, you have to grow. So now, as the world is today, it's all messed up. You have cults. And you have ridiculously things, like Scientology, where Tom Cruise is, he's very famous. You have so many famous Hollywood people and rich people, because of course they want the rich, dumb people. John Travolta is also there. You have to see a very good episode on South Park with it. It's just so cool. God, I wish I could show it to you now. That is just so good. And this whole thing was started from a guy who was writing science fiction novels. It's really out there. And it became a big thing. That is Mission Impossible, to find out of that, I tell you. My God. There was also just now, I read about Of course, a Christian cult, because the Christians themselves, they have most the cults or these big religions. You have the same in Hinduism, in Buddhism, in Islam also. Because it's the masses, and the masses can believe everything. If you walk just in Brazil, when you first came there, then I was like, I saw the Church of God everywhere. It is the church, the gate to heaven there on that corner, and the Church of God there, and the enter the paradise here, and come here and be saved. Just give it some few rayas and everything is fine. But there was just now a South Korean woman who got jailed for 6 years, and she was a big leader of this sect. Her name that she took was Reverend Esther, because it was Christian. So she changed her name from Shinyoko to the Reverend Esther. Can you find a more Christian name than Esther? And she was very big in South Korea. And then she got the message from above that the only safe place was Fiji Islands. Fiji Island, nothing wrong with that, but hello, is definitely not the safest place because the water is rising. And she told all her followers that we have to go to Fiji Island because there we will be safe, because the whole world is going to go under, like many of them say. And there will be famine and war and terrible things. But in Fiji, they say in the Bible, she said, in the Bible is written that Fiji is the future paradise. So if we make it to Fiji, we will all live for 1,000 years. Paradise. Maybe like hula hula also. Can you imagine that people listen to this? And these are the normal people. And 400 or 500 people, they all went there to Fiji. And as soon as they were there, she took the passports, they started treating them violently, there were beatings, they were locked in, they were bad to the children, all this. And everyone had to pay at least $25,000. Because Fiji is very expensive, because coconuts are expensive these days. So this was the situation, and it went on for quite some time, but then some people managed to escape, and they told them, the government and the back in South Korea, what was happening, and they were tortured, and they were locked in, they were beaten, they were even flogged publicly in the compound. These are the cults, in the name of the Bible. But this is so ridiculous, I mean, my God. I was just thinking when I read it, who of those people could follow their heart to do this? This is pure stupidity. You have to be intelligent. My God. The Reverend Esther. No, she is in jail for 6 years in South Korea. Maybe Tom Cruise will visit her. They have this mad. Mostly I think it's the Christian. Because maybe they are the most stupid. I don't know. But in some way they have many of these cults. One cult, they were said that the UFOs would come. In 4 years the UFO will come, and only them will be taken and saved, because the earth is poof, finished. So just give us the money and come to our farm and we will be all prepared. They were busy making landing platforms for the UFOs. And then of course it all come, and now they all mass suicide or they're in jail. I don't know what happened, but this happens all the time. and the end of the world is happening in 1800, 1900, 2012, 2000, 2001, 2020. All the time it's at the end of the world and the fear. And the Armageddon, and there's going to be the Judgment Day, and it's the fear, and the UFOs are coming. And inside the planet they are also, inside and outside, it's all over. How can you explain what is happening here to those kind of people? It's impossible. My God. Good thing is we don't need to go anywhere. We already have paradise on earth. There's no rules, there's no donation, there's nothing you should do. In fact, I'm trying to get rid of you more than come. My God, that's a very strange sect, making it very hard to come. I have to do interview and this and that and all kinds of. It's so unique what is happening. Nobody understands if they are not here.
Oh, Shanti, oh, We are awakening. We are awakening. We are awakening. Awakening. Awakening.
Beloved Babaji, I never been much of a writer, is at least what I've been telling myself the whole life, as an excuse not to write. During my time here in Dharma Mountain, I've been writing every day, and probably more than I wrote all 3 years in high school. Where's Mikal? Yeah, because now you are living now. It's not coming from something you should do. That's what school is, that's what education is, that's what society is. You should be something, you should do something, you should become something. Here it's just being. Then it comes from the inside then, it's effortless. It's especially one story I like to share with you about my grandfather. In his younger days, he was highly respected and wise, with a good job in the construction industry, a loving wife, 3 sons, 7 grandchildren, a house and 2 cabins. Typical Norwegian though. He had made it, now it was time to relax and enjoy. But as time went on, he got sick and tired of life. He had no longer a purpose. This is the problem with retirement, when you have lived in just the so-called normal life. Because they don't really live, and then when you go off with retirement, then you can relax. But relaxation is totally unknown. You've been practicing stress the whole life. And then when you are 65, then suddenly relax. You have 50 years of stress. It doesn't make sense. That's why many people, they are at a loss when they retire. It doesn't make sense. That is the time where you really should go in at last. Everything is quiet, the children grown up. Give me peace. Give me peace on earth. Then it's time for meditation. But nobody knows about meditation. So then he thinks like he had no longer a purpose. Life is not the purpose. It's something to enjoy, to live, to be, to taste. He would just sit in front of the TV and wait to get served food by my grandmother. He got very grumpy, rude, angry, stubborn, and careless. Yeah, this is how it many times is. You know, people, they grow old. They don't grow up. It should be like wine, no? Older you get, the more nice, more tasty it becomes. Then you are wise. You shouldn't look at people what they do when they are teenagers. All teenagers are stupid. Except a few sannyasins. Not stupid, but they have to rebel. It's not like they are stupid, but they have to rebel. And that rebellion, which is part of the life process to get free of the parents and all that, that becomes a nightmare for the parents, no? Just look at all the exhausted mothers here. You should grow up and get wise. But then you have to practice meditation. One day, at the age of 87, he got sent to the hospital. The doctor said he would not survive the night. So we went to say goodbye. As he was squeezing my hand, I could sense he didn't want to let go. He survived that night, and from that next day, it was like someone else had entered his body. He became happy, sensitive, funny, and childish. This is the miracle when you get this straight in your face, that life is precious. That's why many times people need this. You can see this all the time. People get cancer, they get better, they have an accident, they have a heart attack, something. Then they come back, then they get the second chance. Then you start enjoying life. It's like a wake-up call. But that shouldn't be needed for an intelligent person, for a meditative person. Then you should know that life is precious. Human birth is precious. Then you don't waste your time on the planet in stupid things and just creating bad karma for yourself. You are stepping on the planet very lightly. Playful, grateful. He survived that night, and from the next day, it was like somebody else had entered his body. He became happy, sensitive, funny, and childish. This is what is happening here. Just by meditation, playfulness, love, dance, then people wake up. What a better way than to wake up with cancer. For the next 5 years, the only things that mattered for him was ice cream. Spending time with his grandchildren, breathing fresh air, and listening to his favorite songs, and especially What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. That is just so cool. You see, now he became sannyasino. This is my kind of man. I'm trying to tell you all the time. Let's have ice cream, coffee, celebrate. No, I'm on a diet. No, I don't drink. Then maybe one day, just before you die, you have an awakening. Then, my God, I lost 60 years of eating ice cream. Then, just like the grandfather of Mikhail, you have to catch it up. And when you are 90 years old, then what's the big deal? You don't need to, like, who cares if I get little big Tommy or like that? That's how it goes. Life is amazing. What a wonderful world. Can you play that now? You can find it. Oh, yes. In the last year, he passed away, sitting shoulder to shoulder with his wife, my grandmother, on a bus trip to celebrate their 60 years old marriage. And his last words were, "Det är det jag som bestämmer." That is my decision. It's me who is in control. No, he is his own master now. That's good. No, he is ready to go. That's the whole difference it is, you know? Just a few kilo ice cream is the whole difference. If you miss out on that, you will have to come back. Thank you, Babaji, for creating this amazing place and atmosphere. I feel so at home. Mikael. Now we will play it for you. What was his name?
Aigil.
Eh? Aigil. Aiga.
Aigil.
Very good. No, he will be happy now.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" They're really saying, "I love you." I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. And I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Louis Armstrong for president. Can't we have some coffee now? My beloved master, it is always exciting to write to you. My heart is beating very fast, and I feel a strong vibration in my whole body. Since I came back from Brazil, I feel many things are changing in me, which I perceive as happening in my depth, in such an intimate part of myself that I can only access with love and respect. Since I came back from Brazil, I feel I'm not part of anything or anybody. I don't identify myself with what so far was important for me. I felt the syndrome of the lost sheep with no more flock nor shepherd. I got lost, feeling alone, helpless, weird, and terrible wrong. I didn't know what to do, where to go. I needed somebody who could show me the way of certainties. But one night you came to see me, and I kept asking you, where should I go to find my reference points? Full of guilt towards all the wonderful people I know. But in that moment, they were not part of me, not my flock. Then, after a painful moment, you looked at me and said, "Do not identify yourself with anything or anybody. Do not feel guilty. Lose yourself even more into the depth. Do not follow anything or anybody. This is the way." The next morning, the guilt was gone, and I kept staying in that situation. But this wasn't enough, because another night you came back and you were looking at my thoughts, my reasons, my truths, and with a kind gesture you invited me to observe better what was truth for me. I go on chipping away aspects and values that until yesterday were important for me. The more I do this, the more I feel full of love and peace of mind. I still don't know where to go. Thank you, my beloved Master, for the love that I feel coming from the Source. With love, a hug from Sharon. Something has changed, Sharon. How is it now?
It's in the heart.
Yes. Now, when you are in the heart, do you feel part? Do you feel part then when you are in the heart?
See.
You're right. I feel I'm not a part of anything or anybody. That is the head. That is the old. That is the mind. And I know it's very difficult to stay in your source, in your center, in your heart. And I say that many times when you go back, after you had a deep experience, then the challenges will come. You will be tested, no? Because you have changed, but everybody else, all your old friends, your family, they all see you in the same old way. So this is the challenge, Sharon, to stay connected with your heart and allow the inner transformation. But you don't need to do anything on the outside. focus on the inside. You can do whatever you want to do. But of course, that might change also, as you change on the inside. As you become more conscious, then things will change. But this is totally normal, Sharon. You felt like the lost sheep. Yeah, because you're not the sheep anymore. Then all these feelings, the feeling alone, helpless, weird, something is terrible wrong, it has to come up. But don't pay any attention to it. It will take time. You have to practice not to be identified with your thoughts. Because they are creating all the conflict. Look now, when you are in the heart, when you are here with me, everything is fine. So don't go into the problems. You have to cultivate this indifference to your thoughts, a distance. And then slowly, you are not so identified with your thoughts, with your thinking, with your mind, with the past. Then more and more freedom, more and more clarity, more and more living in the moment, more and more being yourself, unpolluted by the past. That is the challenge for the sannyasins, Sharon. And I tell you, this is not gained without any effort or commitment. So you have to be dedicated to yourself. But you have a connection, you have a longing. Even so, that when you were lost, then I came to you in your dream. And I said, do not identify yourself with anything or anybody. If you don't identify yourself with anything or anybody, then only can you ask yourself, who am I? Beyond all identification. What I'm telling you is to come back to yourself. Forget all that out there. Do not feel guilty. Lose yourself even more into the depth. Guilt is part of the mind. Do not follow anything or anybody. This is the way. Yes, this is the way. This is the royal way to liberation itself. Because only then can you start listening to yourself. And that's all what matters. I go on chipping away aspects and values that until yesterday were important for me. The more I do this, the more I feel full of love and peace of mind. I still don't know where to go. This is exactly what you understood what I meant. Just go on chipping away. That until yesterday were important for me. If you have a beautiful crystal that is the most valuable you have in your life, you've been holding on to that your whole life. You got it from your grandfather. Then suddenly you get a diamond the same size. Where will your focus be? On the diamond, which is a million times more worth. So that is how it should be. You have to shift focus now. You have something, found something more precious. So devote yourself to that. I go on chipping away aspects and values that until yesterday were important for me. The more I do this, the more I feel full of love and peace of mind. I still don't know where to go. What do you mean you don't know where to go? You feel more and more full of love and peace of mind. Isn't that enough?
Now yes.
There is nowhere to go. What matters is the love and the peace of mind. That's what matters. If you have peace of mind and love, you can go anywhere. The whole world is my playground. Because love and peace is following me like a shadow. I can't get rid of it. Then, I don't know where to go. Who cares where you go? Just dedicate yourself to the peace and love. Peace of mind. And I tell you, the more quiet the mind becomes, the more you fall back into your heart, into the truth, the less identified with the thoughts, with the past, with your image, the more clarity will come, the more lightness will come, the more freedom will come, the more happiness will come. But I know it's hard, and it's hard for everyone that is going back into the world. That's the challenge. But in one way it will make you stronger if you are dedicated to yourself. And that's why from thousands of years people have gone to the monasteries, to the mystery schools, to the ashrams. Because there they can be with people on the path, fellow travelers. That makes it much easier. You have support. It's hard to go back to the old because everybody will look at you the old way. They cannot see that you look the same. You just have a different light in your eye. But anyway, people don't look into each other's eyes, so they don't see that even. They just see the old friend, the old daughter, the old wife, the old husband. Thank you, my beloved Master, for the love I feel coming from the source. Trust that, Sharon. And come whenever you have the opportunity, no? To fill up. So when you are away, it's very important to have something that keeps you connected. Be that some friends, some sannyasins, or you're listening to satsang, or you meditate, something that you stay connected with that space in yourself. So you don't get lost, involved too much again. But this is the teaching. But this you have to go on chipping it away because it takes time. Do not identify yourself with anything or anybody. Lose yourself, go deeper into your own depth. This is the way. This is the way. I'll read you something from the Buddha. Everything arises and passes away. When you see this, you are above sorrow. This is the shining way. It's just another word. Way to say it. Everything arises and passes away. When you see this, you are above sorrow. Just accept things as they are. Don't get involved. Existence is sorrow. Understand and go beyond sorrow. This is the way of brightness. And when Buddha says existence is sorrow, it's existence when you are identified with your mind. If you are not identified, existence is bliss. But for most people, it's sorrow, it's hardship, it's struggle, it's confusion, it's judgments, misunderstandings. But if you understand, if you rise, you go beyond sorrow. This is the way of brightness. Existence is illusion. Understand, go beyond. This is the way of clarity. You are strong. You are young. It's time to arise. So arise. Don't get lost in confusion and idleness. You just lose the way. Master your words. Master your thoughts. Never allow your body to do harm. Follow these three roads with purity and you will find yourself upon the one way, the way of wisdom. And just these three things is very difficult. To be a master over your words. Become conscious of what you're saying, what you are sharing, what you are speaking about. And then, deeper than that, master your thoughts. How can you master your thought? It's impossible. That's why the first, be aware how you come out. Because then, you can go deeper. If you have control over what you speak, if you don't just get lost in just talking nonsense, then deeper than that is meditation. Be aware of your thoughts. Very few people are studying that. Not getting influenced by your thought. That's what we were talking about now. If you get identified, then the thoughts, the mind will always bring you down into doubt, into confusion. So first, master your words, master your thoughts. Never allow your body to do harm. Use your body, this beautiful human body, in a positive way, in a beautiful way. Don't use it in a way to harm others. Be in tune, be sensitive, be aware. Follow these three roads with purity, and you will find yourself upon the way of wisdom. Sit in the world, sit in the dark. Sit in the world, it means when you sit in the mind, when you are in the ego, that is the world, no? When people get identified with the world, all the dreams, all the fantasies, all the desires, then you sit in the dark. Sit in meditation. Sit in the light. Choose your seat. No, you have a choice, which very few humans realize. You have a choice. You can sit in the world, in the darkness, in your mind, in desires, in ego, or you can sit in meditation. You drop out, you come back, then you sit in the light. But it seems like 99% of people only know about the world. They don't know about the inner. So that's why they are confused. If you are steady in the real, in the light, then that light will be with you in the world. If you don't know about the light, it will be only darkness and dreams. Then wisdom grows. Choose your seat. This you have to do out of your own consciousness, your own understanding. You have to choose. Sit in the world, be lost in the world, be in the dark. Sit in meditation. Sit in the light, come back to yourself. Choose your seat, let wisdom grow. You are definitely in the right place to sit in meditation. So be conscious, choose to sit in the light and relax. Aum Shanti. Love.
was never asking for much, and I was given the sky. Oh, sail away. Sail away, sail away, sail away over the mountain to the other side, to the other side. This is our aloneness. This is our time. This is the mountain we all have to climb. This is our destiny. Thank you.
past is our destiny. Beyond the small family, I see no boundary. This is our love.